Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Julius Baer's Moving Markets Podcast. It's Tuesday, the 16th of April, and my name is Helen Freer. I'll be talking about the latest market news this morning with my colleague Bernadette Anderko. In light of the latest geopolitical developments, I'm pleased to have Norbert Rucker on the show this morning. I'll be asking him what it all means for the oil market. And Manuel Villegas is also on the podcast today to talk about digital assets. But let's start with a roundup of the latest market news. Good morning, Bernadette.
Good morning, Helen.
So, with investors clearly concerned about the escalating tensions in the Middle East after Iran's launch of missiles and drones on Israel on Saturday, what are the highlights, Bernadette, from yesterday's market action?
Yes, Helen, in Europe, with the exception of the UK, most European indices actually closed higher on the day. The regional Stoxx 600 index ended marginally higher off the day's highs. Oil and gas stocks led the losses, down 1.6% on rising risks in the Middle East. In the US, a slightly different story. The 30-stock Dow dropped 248 points, that's 0.65%, in its sixth straight losing day. It erased most of its 2024 gains. That's a big reversal when you think about the fact that just a few weeks ago it was approaching the key 40,000 level. The S&P 500 lost 1.2% and the NASDAQ composite was off just shy of 1.8%, with the Magnificent Seven there seeing its worst day since January. They were off 2.44%. Those losses follow a rise in yields that had investors shrugging off strong earnings from Goldman Sachs, as well as strong retail sales data from the States. The 10-year US Treasury yield topped 4.6%. That's the highest level since November.
You mentioned the retail sales number being strong. Can you give us some more details there, please?
Yes, US retail sales increased more than expected in March. They were up 0.7% month on month amid a surge in receipts at online retailers. And further evidence that the economy ended the first quarter on solid ground. February's numbers were also revised higher. And the report from the Commerce Department follows news of robust employment gains in March and a pickup in consumer inflation. And altogether, these have now boosted expectations that the Federal Reserve may delay cutting interest rates until September. Indeed, our own analysts announced yesterday that they now see first US rate cuts in September. They argue that the latest inflation data make it extremely difficult for the Fed to ease in the near term. And they think it's likely that the Fed will have to wait until the September meeting to see headline inflation fall below 3%.
All right, let's move over to Asia, where we've had data out of China this morning to add into the mix for investors. What was this news and how have the markets reacted?
Well, I won't bore you with too many of the numbers, but there's been a raft of China's economic data points out today, and they've shown that the nation's economic rebound remains uneven, to be honest, Helen. On the one hand, gross domestic product and fixed assets investments beat forecasts. But on the other hand, data on retail sales and industrial output fell short of estimates. So Asian stocks and currencies tumbled on the back of this, and they were clearly heading south amidst fears over US rates and these Middle East tensions. Nearly all of the Asian stock markets in the red this morning, the Nikkei and Hang Seng, both off more than 1.6%. And a note on currencies, a gauge of the US dollar has climbed to its highest level now since November. This renewed strength in the currency, driven by safe haven demand amid these geopolitical tensions in the Middle East, has upset Asian currencies. Some examples, Indonesia's rupee weakened past 16,000 per dollar for the first time since 2020. That's prompted the nation's central bank to intervene. The South Korean won has dropped to its lowest level since 2022, and the Indian rupee tumbled to a record low against the dollar. The Japanese yen also remaining under pressure after surging to a new 34-year low against the dollar overnight.
Okay, and news-wise, is there anything else that's caught your eye this morning?
I think the main thing was, as I was travelling in the news that was on the wires, was mainly about Tesla announcing that it's going to lay off more than 10% of its global workforce. They had 140,473 employees as of December 2023. And on the back of the news, the company's shares closed down more than 5% yesterday. Other than that, I think things to watch out for. The IMF is releasing their latest world economic outlook today. And we've got a number of central bank speakers. They include the Fed Chair Powell, Fed Vice Chair Jefferson, also the Fed's Williams and Barkin speaking. We've got the Bank of England's Governor Bailey, the ECB's Wren, Villeroy and Vilcek, and the Bank of Canada's Governor McKern. So there's a lot of speakers today.
Okay. What about data announcements? Do we have a light or a heavy day ahead?
We've got big bank earnings set to continue. The results from Bank of America and Morgan Stanley are coming out today. We've also got Johnson & Johnson, and other key reports, including United Health and United Airlines, are due to come out today. And we're also waiting for the latest reading of US housing starts and building permits today to gain some insight into the health of the housing sector. And finally, US industrial production data is also set for release before the market opens.
And just lastly, Bernadette, how are we expecting markets to open today?
Well, with Israel's chief of staff saying overnight that his country will respond to Iran's missile strike, it's probably not surprising that European markets are heading for a lower open today. Investors are closely following developments, and US futures are all firmly in the red today, I'm afraid. I wish I could be the bearer of better news, Helen, but that's it from me today.
Excellent. Thanks very much, Bernadette, for the great roundup this morning. Norbert, over to you now. Good morning to you, first of all.
Good morning.
We have touched on it already. Geopolitics is back to haunt markets. Friday's rumours proved to be accurate with Iran attacking Israel over the weekend. What's our take on the latest developments, Norbert?
Well, it is easy to fear hot-headed re-escalation in the Middle East and to construct kind of alarming scenarios of an impending oil crisis. The attack itself has been largely repulsed. The military action already ended on Sunday. Restrictions that we saw on air traffic have been also lifted on Sunday. And once again, Iran appears to be considering its actions quite carefully, taking really into account the military capabilities of its own, but especially of those of its adversaries. Some geopolitical experts point out that the visibility of the attack and maybe also the lack of secrecy beforehand shows that Iran, in fact, is just not interested in a meaningful escalation. So going forward, looking ahead, it really depends now on Israel's response, if it's something slightly more tempered, if you can call it so, involving the action in Gaza, or if it's slightly something larger, involving also direct attack towards adversaries.
And what does this mean for oil prices then?
Well, for the time being, we believe that the situation is somewhat similar to the one back last September, October, when a combination of geopolitical events also temporarily pushed oil prices towards $90 per barrel. If you look at the market, in fact, well, yesterday's reaction has been rather benign. Oil price, in fact, dropped below $90 per barrel, at least temporarily. Now they're slightly up again. And we believe there are several reasons that really speak for an eventual reversal of oil prices from today's levels. There is a slowdown in demand. Usually, if prices get as high, if prices are elevated at the pump, there's some of the reaction from the consumers. We also see that China most likely opportunistically slows imports. Saudi Arabia, with its production cuts, could come under pressure if we still see lasting prices above 90. And then last but not least, there could also be a pickup in new shale production. But most importantly, we are really still looking at a market with a very bullish market mood. And this usually tends to pressure prices eventually.
And what's the risk of oil prices pushing towards and even beyond the $100 mark?
Look, geopolitics in the Middle East, and especially such hot-headed ones, always can offer reasons to scare the market. This would be needed to really push prices even higher. But I think there's two things to really bear in mind from a bigger perspective. Geopolitics rather tends to be noise, impacting oil prices only temporarily, so meaning over weeks, not over months, and not at all over years. And second, the past few years should have taught us really not to underestimate the resilience of the energy market. The oil market specifically basically shrugged off the transformation of Russia to a Western pariah under sanctions. It also shrugged off Saudi Arabia's supply cuts and, in fact, also other geopolitical hiccups, just as the Red Sea shipping constraints we still have. All these elements did not really threaten oil supplies in any meaningful way. So overall, we stick to a cautious view. Yes, oil prices may rise further in the coming days, given the uncertainty that we have, but eventually gravity should prevail, and thus we see lower prices longer term for the remainder of the year.
Okay, wonderful. Thanks a lot, Norbert. Good to hear your latest thoughts on this morning. Now, Manuel, let's move on and talk about digital assets now. Welcome. Good morning, firstly.
Good morning, Helen.
So what do you think has triggered the reversal we've seen in digital asset markets?
So I believe that macro and geopolitics are back in the driving seat. So digital assets behavior most likely follows that of risk on assets. And Wednesday's higher than expected US CPI inflation prints raised many eyebrows, as the possibilities of fewer rate cuts this year loom large, as you said before. So the weekend's escalation of the conflicts in the Middle East was first seen in the 24/7 open risk sentiment betting line, which is the digital assets market. Digital assets experienced a drawdown of around 12% over the weekend. And even if Bitcoin shares some qualities with gold, gold remains as the go-to risk-off asset, with gold prices remaining high while Bitcoin's withdrawing close to 10%. So volatility has considerably increased across all time frames, and there's no question about it, whether measured on a 10-day rolling basis or on a 180-day.
Are the supply constraints that we've talked about before still there?
So we do have the fourth and upcoming Bitcoin halving in plain sight. We expect it within 4 days. The date won't come with any immediate magical effects, as the deceleration of the supply's growth is likely to be felt over the course of the next few months. Much speculation has been building up around it, and as Norbert said before, oil prices are a bit higher, and what happens is that these rising energy costs affect the miners' profitability and will thereby lead to expectations of the miners needing to sell more tokens through the halving, putting some downward price pressure in the markets. At the same time, demand has truly been more important as of late, and that has been because the net flows into the US Bitcoin spot exchange traded funds have been consolidating, and the wrappers have been seeing considerable declines in inflows. The market capitalization of stablecoins, on the other hand, has grown around 7% to $150 billion, which is a bit over 6% of the digital assets total market capitalization. So stablecoin minting has been one of the few proper gauges of demand out there, and it is still demonstrating some positive signs. We also had some positive news yesterday from Hong Kong, as the regulator approved spot Bitcoin and Ethereum ETFs, and open interest is still pretty high. And we have $30 billion in open interest between dated and perpetual contracts for Bitcoin. So we see lots of interest out there. The problem is, as well, that there is a clear skew for the longs, which is quite expensive for this taking a more bullish approach to the prices, because the funding rates must be paid for the perpetual contracts every 8 hours. And the recently whipsawing prices result in realized losses every 8 hours for most of them.
Okay, what should investors expect going forward then, just quickly?
So very quickly, macro will play a fundamental role. Crypto mimics the behavior of risk on assets the closest. Higher than expected inflation will be detrimental, as the asset class's nascent qualities and tech parallels make its growth contingent on investors' capital, and opportunity costs are still high. So prices might be still fragile, as US dollar liquidity has deteriorated in the past couple of weeks. And we believe that this could provide some short-term headwinds for Bitcoin. That said, medium to longer term, we believe that the imbalance in supply and demand can continue to drive prices, in particular after the halving. And that's all from my end. Back to you, Helen.
Very good. Thanks a lot, Manuel. So that's it for today. Thank you again to my guests this morning, and thank you all for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe, and please also leave us a review on whichever platform you'd like to listen on. And do join us again tomorrow when Bernadette will be back as your host, and she'll be speaking to more of our colleagues about what is moving markets. Have a great day, everyone, and bye for now.
The information and opinions expressed in this podcast constitute marketing material and are not the result of independent financial or investment research. Please refer to www.juliusbear.com/legal/podcasts for further other important legal information.
Für unsere deutschsprachigen Zuhörer, we would also like to make you aware of Marktanalysen und Gespräche, a monthly podcast in German, where Julius Baer experts discuss some of the latest market developments. We share our key research and insights on today's ever-changing economic landscape in German. Search for Marktanalysen und Gespräche on your favorite podcast player.